Well, today I want to speak to you in a message I've entitled, Five Great Words of Hope. Five Great Words of Hope. All of us know that we live in a world that's in frightful condition. We look at the nightly news and we shudder at the systematic terrorist attacks upon all the nations of the West. We know that unless Jesus intervenes or unless Jesus comes again, it's only going to get worse. I visited a website just this week that said North America had the largest drop in what they call global peace of any continent in the entire world. This was just last year. The largest drop. That's pretty significant when you think about all the violence that's going on in the Middle East. But here's the thing about it. There's only two countries in the North American continent, and it wasn't Canada that caused the drop. Canada actually had a slight increase in peace, they say. But our peace plummeted in our country just in the last year. They're telling us that the reason for this is the murder rate that went up and also the political polarization that we're experiencing. But you see, murders and political brawling are just the fruit of the root. The root problem of all this, of all the violence and all the power struggles and every other ill in all the world, is the evil that is constantly brewing in our troubled hearts. Here's how Jesus put it. Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." Listen, there is no peace in our hearts, and this lack of peace wreaks havoc in our own life and in the lives of countless others that we touch. And your life touches many. I want to assure you, if you have no peace, nobody around you that you touch has peace that God wants them to have. Here's what Proverbs 29 says. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people groan." Now, when it says the wicked bearing rule, the people groan around them, that's talking about governmental officials for sure. But that's talking about ruling in the household. When mom and dad have no peace, then the children groan. When the husband is ruling and he's wicked, the wife groans. In the workplace, people groan when the boss is a man of wickedness. In the classroom, when teachers aren't what they ought to be. In civic groups, in the entertainment industry that is just consumed by wicked people. And even in the church sometimes there's wicked people that are ruling, and people groan when that happens. Misery reigns. I want you to look around you at this world. Do you not see in this world that misery is reigning and there's no peace or little peace? Well, what's the answer? How can we get some peace in this world? Well, let me tell you, first of all, it's not by power. The Romans tried it. Napoleon tried it. They failed, not by power. It's surely not by programs. In 1961, we thought we'd come up with a program in America that would give us peace. And the Peace Corps was birthed. Hadn't had any peace since 61 in this old world. Just a few years ago, in 2012, there was a new group that came up with this idea of peace. Listen, they are called the Heavenly Culture, World Peace, and Restoration of Light. Have you ever heard of them? They're just 5 years old. Heavenly Culture, World Peace, Restoration of Light. But they sure haven't made any headway toward peace. Well, if power and programs won't do it, certainly popularity and possessions will bring peace, won't it? Well, I don't think so. If that were true, then why are all these actors and actresses and famous athletes committing suicide from time to time? Because they don't have any peace in their hearts. You see, popularity and possessions, which they've got all of, didn't bring them any peace. There's an emptiness in their souls that nothing could satisfy. Friends, listen. There's only one thing in this world, only one thing that will bring true peace. And we have the answer right here. So let's turn there and see what it is. Ephesians chapter 2. In honor of God's Word, I want you to stand, please, as we read about five great words. Five great words of hope. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 14. So Follow with me while we read Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. For he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition or of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Thank you. You may be seated. In these verses, Paul writes that there is peace between Jew and Gentile, and there is peace between both of them to God through one source, and that is his Son. Paul says the answer is amazingly simple. In verse 14, he says, he himself is our peace. Now, that's the five great words of hope, y'all. He himself is our peace. In Jesus, there is peace, and nothing else, and no one else can bring peace except Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. The Bible says Jesus brought down the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, which was the law, the Old Testament law. But now the ceremonial law is abolished by the death of Jesus. And the only thing in force that brings peace to our hearts and brings peace to one another is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing is the common ground that Jew and Gentile has both alike that brings them together and brings them both to God. You know, we've seen this. We've seen this thing fleshed out in our own community in the last 2 years. Most of you know that once a month, many churches in Foster's and Raft, Gina, Romulus, gather together. We pray. Baptist, Methodist, one Pentecostal church, black churches, white churches. We're all together praying for the glory of God to fall on this community. And there's only one thing that brings us together, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Him and Him alone. Well, Paul writes that Jesus not only brings people together, he says in verse 16, look at it, verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body. In one body, the body of Jesus Christ, God reconciles all those who trust in him to Jesus. All those who trust in Jesus, he reconciles to the Father. We trust in Jesus, we're all reconciled to the Father. Now that word reconcile is a very precious word. It means to bring back together people who were hostile toward one another. And it means to bring them back together completely. Now, if you remember in the Old Testament, remember the story of David and Absalom? Absalom had tried to rebel against his father, did rebel against his father. David retained the kingdom, however, but Absalom was over in some foreign country. And he stayed there for 2 years. And one of his advisors says, you get that boy back to Israel. He needs to be back in Israel with you. And so David said, okay, bring him back. So he brought him back to Israel, but he still could not come into the Father's presence. You see, he was back in the homeland, but he was not fully reconciled. This word reconcile means to bring back totally. I mean, there's nothing between you and God. He has removed every single hostile thing that could be between you and Him. That's what the word means. But who did it? He Himself is our peace. Jesus Christ is the one who brings us back to God. But how does He do it? He does it, but how? Look at verse 16 again. Look at it. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. God's peace came to you and me through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11 says this. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. God the Father sees the anguish of the soul of His Son hanging on the cross, and He's satisfied. He says, that's good enough. That sacrifice is good enough to cover all the sins of every man of all time. Listen, if you are concerned about your soul today, if there is anguish in your heart about where you're going to spend eternity, I want you to listen closely to the words of an old writer named C.H. McIntosh concerning Jesus' sacrifice. And he's speaking in the first person. He's talking about himself. And here's what he says about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. This is enough for me. Hear my guilty soul, trouble conscious, finds sweet repose. I see my sins rising up like a dark mountain before me, threatening me with eternal wrath. But the blood of Jesus has blotted them all out from God's view. Now he turns his attention to his readers. He says this. He says this to you. Let me reason with you. What is to hinder you from this very moment resting on the fountain of accomplished atonement? Does your conscience need something more to satisfy it than that which satisfied the inflexible injustice, injustice of God? Christ is sufficient for God. Let Him be sufficient for you likewise. Then, but not until then, you will be truly happy. That's a good question. I ask you that question myself. Does your conscience need something more to satisfy it than that which satisfied the inflexible justice of God? Christ was sufficient for God. Is He not sufficient for you? Let me tell you, friends, as long as you depend on anything that you can do for any part of your salvation, I don't care how small it is, you will never be saved and you will never have the peace of God in your heart. Now, why is that? Listen carefully. Because when you depend on anything that you have to offer for God to help Him out, here's what you're saying to God. You're saying, God, the blood of Your Son was not good enough to cover all my sins. It was not powerful enough. And I've got to help You out, God. I've got to add my merits to the merits of the blood of Jesus. Friends, that is a slap in the face to Almighty God. If His blood of His Son is not good enough, but I want to tell you, it is good enough. And when you simply will just give up and accept the fact His blood is good enough and you trust that blood and nothing else, the peace of God will flood into your soul and you'll be the happiest camper in the world because you can know you are forgiven and you are right with God. You are reconciled to God. And if you know Him today, if you already know this peace, let there not be a day the sun arises, you don't give Him thanks for the peace of God that He gave you the day He washed your sins away.